as he is.
You may be seated.
Good morning. Welcome again to the fellowship this morning as we take time to honor God, worship Him together. And it truly was good to be able to sing together and share together in song. So let's just pause and ask the Lord to be the one in authority here this morning. Father, we thank you. We praise you. We adore you this morning, Lord, for the opportunity we have to fellowship, to look at your word. God, I pray that you would protect the words that you have prepared and that you would help them to reach the ear of the hearer undefiled. God, we give this place to you. We pray for a sense of peace as we share together, Lord. We pray that you would drive out anything that is unclean and that today you would be glorified and lifted up. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, there's no question that for all of us, it was probably somewhat of a disturbing week. Somewhat of a time of evaluating yourself, your emotions, your feelings, and all the things that go along with a week like this week. And I'm going to start with a little story. Doorbell rang here a couple weeks ago, or a week or more ago, whatever it was, doesn't really matter. And the neighbor man was at the door, and so I opened the door, and I stood there engaged in conversation with the neighbor man, and Louis came and stood beside me there at the door looking out, just curious as to what was going on. And about that time, the neighbor man's little rat terrier jumped up on the porch right in front of Louis. And I looked down, and Louis's back was arched about 90 degrees, and his tail two times bigger than what it should have been, and his ears laid back, and everything was fine until the little rat terrier jumped towards him, and Louis took off, and in the kitchen, and the little rat terrier right after him, into the kitchen, and they're sliding around the table trying to get traction, and into the other room, and by that time, the neighbor man had called off the rat terrier, okay. And I thought about how Louis's little secure world was shaken. And I thought about this some more as I was just thinking about how, as I stood there beside Louis, had Louis stayed there beside me, I could have defended Louis. But the first thing that Louis did was he ran when he was scared. And I wondered, as I thought about the message this morning, and I titled it, Trusting God in the Darkness. Trusting God in the Darkness. Had Louis stayed there, I could have defended him, but he ran. And I thought about how often it is with us that God so desperately wants to defend us from the enemy. Wants to defend us from the spirits of darkness, wants to defend us from the enemy, and we run. Or we try to do it on our own. We arch our backs, we hiss, we fluff up our tails, and we become that there image of trying to do it ourselves. When God is right there, He is standing there, and He is willing, and He is wanting, and He is waiting to help you. And I thought about our week. I thought about the things that we experienced this week and how I know many of you were disappointed as I was. It is a time that we need to learn to trust God in the darkness. Not just the time to learn it, but it's a time to be refreshed in that we need to trust God in the darkness. And the darkness that I'm talking about this morning, now you can turn with me to Micah chapter 7. We'll be looking at Micah 7, 7 through 13. And as I was preparing this message, the way the message came to me again was on my recliner one morning in my devotional time. I was reading in Isaiah 50, and it talked about walking in darkness. And it seemed like God laid a message on my heart through that scripture. But then as I was studying and looking at other scriptures, and then I was kind of torn between Micah 7 and Isaiah 50. And so we might jump back and forth just a little bit. But looking at Micah 7, verses 7 through 13. And again, recognizing this morning, as I said, that we have We have all experienced in our hearts what is going on. And I want to say right up front that the darkness, when I talk about trusting God in the darkness, I'm not talking about darkness being a wicked thing, okay? I'm talking about those times when it just seems like God is not making sense, when it seems like God is not coming through clear to you. There are times of darkness we go through as Christians. Christians are not exempt from times of darkness, of not being able to see clearly or see real far as to what it is that God wants for me personally. Or maybe it's a time of trial. Maybe it's a time of testing. Those are times of darkness. And as I saw this picture of a light shining down on a man in a circle. And that is how God sometimes we see beyond the circle. Sometimes God gives us real clear direction in what he's doing and where he's going. And we can follow, you know, but sometimes we're constricted to that little circle of light. And you can't see beyond it. Many of you have experienced darkness. You've been outside in the dark, or you've been in a room where there's no windows, and the darkness is such that you can almost feel it. You know, you walk around with your hands out, trying to make sure that you don't walk into anything. The story comes to my mind of a local man that got up in the night, and it was dark. He didn't want to turn the light on to go to the bathroom, and so he was walking towards the bathroom with his hands out like this, making sure he doesn't walk into anything. And the bathroom door was standing straight open. So his hands were on either side of the bathroom door as he walked into it face first. Okay, so we've all experienced darkness. You know what I'm talking about? Where you can't see, where you just, there's nothing clear. You can feel it. And I know that there are those of you sitting here this morning who have gone through some dark times. And maybe you're in a dark time this morning. Maybe you're saying, God, I can't see clearly. I can't see where you're going with me. I can't understand. I can't feel exactly what it is. But when we walk outside of that circle of light, if we attempt to walk outside of that circle of light that God has given us, we are prone to walk into the door face first. Turn with me, yes, to Micah. Chapter 7, verses 7 through 13, it says this, therefore, I will look to the Lord. I will wait for the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. Verse 8, do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. I will hear the indignation of the Lord because I have sinned against him until he pleads my case and executes justice for me. He will bring me forth to the light. I will see his righteousness. Then she who is my enemy will see, and the shame will cover her who said to me, where is the Lord your God? My eyes will see her. Now she will be trampled down like mud in the streets. And in the day when your walls are to be built, in the day the decree shall go far and wide, in that day they shall come to you from Assyria and fortified cities, from the fortress of the river, from the sea to sea, and mountain to mountain, yet the land shall be desolate because of those who dwelt in it and for the fruit of their deeds. And as I look at this here scripture, and I'm going to be focusing primarily on verse 7 and 8, and we'll get into that a little bit later, but there are times in the lives of God's people that we have to serve God in the midst of darkness. There are times in the lives of God's people that we have to serve God. We continue to serve him. We continue to serve him in darkness. Even when the light seems, it doesn't seem clear. I don't know exactly where I'm going. I don't know exactly what God wants for me. But we continue to serve him in darkness. There are times that we find it difficult to see very far ahead. It's hard to stand when we do not understand. It's hard to stand when we do not understand. Are you with me? Have you experienced that? It's hard to stand when you don't understand. Life is filled with melody and misery, as well as high times and hard times. There are those melodious times, and there are the times of misery. There are the high times, and there are the low times. And it's in those low times that we start to question God. And it's hard for us to trust God. And it's hard for us to continue to walk in the light that is right there for us at the time. This is I find interesting. That we as Christians, we want to be overcomers, right? I want to be an overcomer. I want to be an overcomer for the Lord. Why is it then that we don't want anything to overcome? Why is it that we struggle with something to overcome? But we want to be overcomers, but we won't have anything to overcome. Okay? I find that interesting. We desire to go to heaven, but we'd rather not die in order to get there. All of our desires is to go to heaven, but we'd rather not die to get there. I have news for you. Nobody left this world alive. Except maybe there was those back in a couple of mentioned in the scriptures, but in my time, I don't know of anybody that left this world alive. No. I have news for you. You're going to die. And those are dark times. Those are dark times for the person walking through it, for the people around them. Those are dark times. They are the times that we need to be trusting God for those times. Maybe you're here this morning, you're experiencing that darkness. Maybe you're here this morning and you have a wayward child. Maybe you've experienced a financial reversal or just a difficult time financially. It's kind of a dark time for you. Maybe someone has broken your heart or taken advantage of you. Maybe a spouse. Maybe you're not able to make sense of what's happening today. Maybe your political world was turned upside down. And you're experiencing a dark time in life. There are these instances when we have studied. We have studied the lesson. We have read God's word. We're all prepared, and then sudden darkness comes into our lives. How do we respond? How do we respond to that? How do we respond when nothing makes sense, when it doesn't make sense, when I can't make it make sense? How do we respond? And one of the questions we ask is why. It's probably one of the questions that Christians ask more than any other is why. Why did my child have to die? Why could I not carry this child to full term? Why did my husband or wife have to break my heart? Why did my business have to go bankrupt? Why did God allow sickness to come to me or my loved ones? Why did God heal that person and not heal me? Why? Those are dark times in a believer's life. When you get to the place where you're asking that question, why? It's a dark time. I believe that every person that walks humbly before God at some time or another will experience a dark time in life. And you're not alone. If you're here this morning and you're in a dark time, you are not alone. You are not alone. I got some scripture to prove that. I walked with Karen through a dark time. As you all know, Karen had a very major surgery in July, and it was much more difficult than realized it was going to be. And in September, her father contracted the COVID virus and wound up in the hospital. And I watched as Karen was on the phone with her father. Her father called him and begged her to come in. I thought I could say this. Begged her to come in and wonder what's going on. Why don't people come? And that was his last phone call to her. He died there. Then Karen got COVID, and through the whole emotion of her father passing away, Those of you that have had COVID understand the emotional fatigue that goes along with it. Then her mother wound up in the hospital here not too long ago. So I walked with Karen through some really, really dark times. Really dark times. And this week, I saw the light in her eyes again. And I say, thank you, Lord. A testimony of trusting God in the darkness. God is there. God is there. It encouraged my spirit again to see somebody walk through a dark time and be able to smile again, be able to have that light again. In this scripture in Micah 7, verse 8, it says, do not rejoice over me, my enemy. When I fall, I will arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. The Lord will be a light to me. And trust me this morning, I can assure you again and again that scripture is true. That scripture is true. That scripture is real. And I'm just going to turn, and you can turn with me, if you will, to Isaiah 50, verse 10 primarily, but let me read a couple of verses there in Isaiah 50. And I'm going to start at verse 7. It says, for the Lord God will help me. Therefore, I will not be disgraced. You know what? Yeah, I'm sorry. Verse 9, surely the Lord God will help me. Who is he who will condemn me? Indeed, they will all grow old like a garment, and the moth will eat them up. Who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. So there again, we have this scripture. We have this verse saying, who among you fears the Lord? Who obeys the voice of his servant? Who walks in darkness and has no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord. When there are times, again, we are called to those times where we are without light, that we are called to walk in, when we're in darkness, called to walk in that light. It is a kind of a distorted idea that if a person becomes a Christian, they'll never experience any darkness. And that's a world that we live in today. That's a Christianity that is being presented to the world. That there is never any trials, there's never any difficulty, there's never any dark times. All you have to do is say that you're a believer, believe in Jesus Christ, and everything is going to be good. Anyone here this morning that did not have a difficult time in the last year, stand up, because we want to learn how that is done, okay? You see what I'm saying? It's unrealistic. Does God give us the grace? Does God give us the power? Does God give us the strength to walk through the darkness? Absolutely. Absolutely. That's my God. My God is the God that gives us the strength and the courage and the boldness to step up and continue to trust him in the time of darkness. And it's not unusual. Looking at scripture, looking at Job and what he said. Job said this, God has put darkness in my path. God has put darkness in my path. We know that Job was a righteous man. Job was a holy man. And so there's an example of a person who said and acknowledged and recognized that God had put darkness in his path. God allowed the enemy, Satan, to do those things. Habakkuk exclaimed, how long shall I cry and you not hear me? And John the Baptist sent messengers from prison and asked Jesus, saying, are you really the Messiah, or should we look for someone else? Do you hear the darkness in his time? He's sitting there in jail, in prison, and he's saying, Lord Jesus, are you really the Messiah, or are we looking for someone else? And he starts to question. He asks the question, why? Because there's a darkness that surrounded them. Each of these great men came to a time in their life that they did not understand, just as you have. If you're in darkness, it doesn't necessarily mean that you're out of the will of God or that you have sinned before the Lord. Yes, there are times that is the reason for the darkness, but it's not always the reason for the darkness. Is sin. Warren Wiersbe said this, "We live by promise, not by explanations." Did you get that? We live by promise, not by explanation. If you feel the need and it needs to be explained before you will believe it, then that's not faith. That's not true, just trusting and obeying and listening to God to lead you through those times. Thomas Watson has said, where reason cannot wade, faith must swim. Where reason cannot wade, faith must swim. Another thought I wrote down from somewhere else was that never doubt in the dark what you have learned in the light. And I thought that was very encouraging to me. Never doubt in the dark what you have learned in the light. The test of our character is not what we do in a worship service. The test of our character is what we do in the dark. Let me read that again. The test of our character is not what we do in a worship service. The test of our character is what we do in the dark. How do we respond in the darkness? You know, one of the things that as I thought about darkness, I thought about how that, again, like light always, always rules over darkness. Darkness can never overtake light. Light always rules over darkness. Like you have a dark room and you open up the windows and let the sunlight stream in. Have any of you ever at nighttime had the lights on and threw open the windows and left the dark stream in? Doesn't happen. It's impossible. So Jesus said, I am the light. I am the light of the world. And when we have the light of Jesus within us, there is that light, there is that hope, there is that, even though we can't see, he is the light. When there is no light, he is the light. When you're sitting in darkness, he is the light. He is the one that you need to turn to. He's the one that you need to trust. Nothing else. For example, you've heard someone say the stars are out tonight. Well, you know what? The stars are out now, but you can't see them. You see? Yeah. It has to get dark for you to see the stars. Sometimes God allows things to happen in our life. Sometimes God allows darknesses to come so that we can see clearly the stars, which are to be beheld and praise God for. So there are times of darkness that come so that we can see. In the light, we can see what's near, but in the dark, we can see what's far away. Maybe not as clearly, but we can see farther. But in the light, we see more clearly what is close to us. We might think our brightest thoughts in the daytime, but I'll guarantee your deepest ones are at night when it's dark. Are you with me? Your deepest thoughts. You might have your brightest thoughts in the daytime when you're awake, but your deepest thoughts are when it's dark. Don't reject. Don't reject the darkness that God may have put there for you to learn whatever it might be. Going back to Micah, chapter 7, and I jotted down what Matthew Henry had to say about Micah 7:8,
Do not rejoice over my enemy when I fall or arise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. And Matthew Henry says this, we must not only look to him, but look for him. In our greatest distresses, we shall see no reason to despair of salvation. I wanted to put an emphasis on that. We must not only look to him, but we must look for him. We must not only look to him, but we must look for him. And that's what happens when there's darkness. We have to look for him. In our greatest distresses, we shall see no reason to despair of salvation. If by faith we look to the Lord as the God of our salvation, though enemies triumph and insult, they shall be silenced and put to shame. Though Zion's walls may long be in ruins, there will come a day when they shall be repaired. Israel shall come from all the remote parts, not turning back for discouragements. Though our enemies may seem to prevail against us and to rejoice over us, we should not despond. Though cast down, we are not destroyed. We may join hope in God's mercy with submission to his correction. No hindrances can prevent the favors the Lord intends for the church. James speaks of it. In James chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, he says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And that is probably one of the most difficult verses for us to embrace. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. So he is saying that, brethren, you are going to fall into various trials. It is not going to be just a life of ease and everything's going to come your way. You will fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith works patience. Hallelujah! It is through the darkness, it is through the testing, it is through the trying that our faith is built. And patience comes out of it. You've all been in touch with people who have been through some really difficult times, and there's a patience about them. Even in the times that are difficult, they have learned that God is still there. Even though you can't see him and sometimes can't feel him, I know in my heart that he's still there. I know in my heart that God is still here. I know in my heart that regardless of what the political scene looks like today, I know that God is still here. It hasn't changed who God is to me. It hasn't changed who God is to you. Are you trusting God in the darkness? Is he still with you? Is he still your God? Just because a person has faith does not mean that he will lead a charmed life. Just because a person has faith does not mean that he will lead a charmed life. Going back to Job again, he was a good man. He lost all his children. He lost all his possessions. He lost his health. And he still said, God is good. God is good. How do you do that? How do you do that? He lost all his children, he lost all his possessions, and he lost his health. And he said, God is still good. God is still good. It's better if I wouldn't have been born, he said, but God's still good. On the road of life, in the Christian life, there will be many bumps, but God has given you the grace through his indwelling spirit to walk one step at a time and to keep on going. The pilgrimage of the faithful is a hopeful one. And one of the things that I find is that in this here scripture, it says in verse 7, it says, therefore I will look to the Lord, and I will wait for the Lord, the God of my salvation. My God will hear me. And this is interesting. You will, when you're in the time of darkness, when you have, possibly you have failed, okay? And it's brought on darkness. Or maybe it's just a dark time. And we, so many times, like Job, there's someone comes into your life and says, oh my, yeah, you need to repent, you're bad, okay? Then they mock or they make fun of, see, you're not strong. Who's your God? Where is your God? If you're experiencing darkness, where is your God? If you're experiencing these trials in your Christian life, where is your God? And I trust me this morning, Satan is right there, willing and ready to put those thoughts into your mind immediately. And so one of the things, when you're in darkness, when you're experiencing darkness, you need to be on guard, because Satan, the roaring lion, is walking around looking for someone to devour. And he will put those thoughts in your head. You're no good. You're no good, Luke. How could you fail? You're no good. Or you'll have someone come to you and tell you you're no good. And then the enemy comes in again, and he starts to put your head full of those thoughts. Somebody told me one time, it's like when you get an envelope from somebody that is not to be sent to you, or you want it sent back. You know how you stamp it? Return to sender. Return to sender. And when Satan puts those thoughts in your mind, when Satan starts to make you believe that the darkness is more than you can handle, I tell you to tell him out loud, not in your mind, with your voice, tell him, return to sender. Amen? Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Return to sender. Yes, my God does allow me to go through difficult times. Yes, my God does allow me to go through dark times. Yes, but you know what? He's still God. He's still God. He's still my God. And he will walk me through those times. The hope of God's people is that they cannot be destroyed by circumstance. Even when death comes to the believer, there's the hope of victory on the other side. To the believer, death can be viewed as a pathway, a gateway to victory on the other side. See, death can't even destroy you. So, neither can darkness. God has prepared us for a glorious eternity for his people. God has prepared a glorious eternity for his people. Hold on. Don't let go. Don't let this stuff. One of the things I think, you know, back when we didn't have church for a little bit, one of the things I think that I believe happened, that God allowed to happen, was us to see the value of the church body, the value of being able to fellowship together. Because it was something we had taken for granted. It was something we had taken for granted. We knew it. In our minds, we want to know that, yes, church is important and it is good. It's good to be together. But one of the things that I believe God did was, in allowing this church closing to happen, was that it strengthened people. It brought people back to understand the vital part of fellowship in the body. So use it. Let God speak to you through that. Micah said in verse 7, he says, therefore I will look. So what is it that we're supposed to do? So I'll point out a couple of things here from Micah yet that we are supposed to do when we're in this time of darkness. And Micah says, first of all, in verse 7, therefore I will look to the Lord. I will look. And I asked you this morning, are you looking? Are you looking for the goodness of God? Are you looking for the holiness of God? Are you looking for it in his word? Are you looking for it on your knees? Are you looking for it in your fellowship with the church, in teaching and all those things? Are you looking for God? Psalm 32:10 says this, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he who trusts in the Lord, mercy shall surround him. Mercy shall surround him. Psalms 125:1 says this, those who trust in the Lord are like Mount Zion, which cannot be moved but abides forever. Psalms 28:8, the Lord is their strength, and he is the saving refuge of his anointed. Psalms 91:10, no evil shall befall you, nor shall any plague come near your dwelling. And I ask you this morning, are you looking? As Micah said, look, look. Stop looking at the news. Oh my goodness. You will not find any peace there. You will not find any peace. Are you looking? I will look. First of all, I will look. Then Micah said, I will wait. He says this, I will wait. In the second sentence, I will wait for the Lord, my God of my salvation. In the time that it just seems like he's not there, he's not giving direction, he's not giving an answer. And if you go back to the scripture in Isaiah 50, it says that they lit their own fires when it was dark. They lit their own fires. They arranged sparks around them. And God said they would receive nothing but reproach from doing that. So there are times God has you in a dark place that he wants you to learn something. And it's for a period of time that you're going through this darkness. Don't light your own fire. Okay? We see that with Abraham and Sarah. He was promised a child, and it wasn't happening. So Abraham lit his own fire and had Ishmael. And we know the problems that caused. Okay? So don't light your own fire. In other words, don't be too hasty to try and figure out a way out of this thing, this darkness that you're experiencing. God's timing is best, for his blessing is worth waiting for. And I know that you won't be disappointed. I know that you won't be disappointed. Scripture says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. When Jehoshaphat faced the invasion of the Moabites, in 2 Chronicles 20:17, he says this, you will not need to fight this battle. Position yourselves, stand still, and see the salvation of the Lord. As somebody, I heard a quote that was shared recently that someone shared that God now has our attention, okay? With the whole political scene and everything that's happening around us, God now has our attention. Be still and hear from him. Because he has our attention. Be still and hear from him. Be still. You have to still your heart. You have to still your heart. Because it has a tendency to get all wrapped up in it. Still your heart and hear from God. Hear from God. And then again in verse 7, the last sentence of verse 7, it says, my God will hear me. My God will hear me. When my faith is weak, God will hear my cry. When my needs are great, God will hear my cry. When I am all alone, God will hear my cry. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and forgive their sin and heal their land. Jeremiah 33:3, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. I will show them to you. Call to me. Call on me. And so Micah says there in verse 7, my God will hear me. He's confident of that, as I am this morning, that God will hear you. And we need to close this. Micah says in verse 8, he says, when I fall, I will rise. See, there's hope. There is such hope in his words. When I fall, I will rise. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. When I sit in darkness, the Lord will be a light to me. Then in verse 9, you go to the end of verse 9, the last sentence of verse 9, it says, I will see his righteousness. I will see his righteousness. And that's what I want to leave with you this morning. That if we continue to trust God, if we trust God in the darkness, we will see his righteousness. He will not fail you. He will not let you down. He will bring that hope and that whatever it is that is you're yearning for. and walk in the circle of light. Walk in that light that God has given you. I remember the times when my dad first, we trapped muskrats at home. Okay, so when we were pretty young, my dad took us out and taught us how to trap muskrats. And I remember going out there in the dark, and I remember walking with dad with the flashlight. And I remember getting outside of that circle of light and getting a little distance away from dad. You know, we hurried back, you know, to get into that circle of light again because it felt secure. It felt like it was safe there. It is. It is. This morning, your Heavenly Father is there with the light, and if you stay within that circle of light, you are safe and you are secure. I'm not telling you everything's going to be good, but you are safe and you are secure in that circle of light. Keep trusting God in the darkness. The darkness. The darkness is not in you. Jesus is. The light of the world is in you. The light of the world is in you. The darkness where you can't see through on the outside, don't worry about it. I mean, that's easy to say, but I know it's hard, okay? But keep trusting. Keep trusting and walking in that circle of light. God, we thank you this morning for your goodness. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity we had to look at your word. I pray that you would take and use this scripture to your honor and glory. God, I pray that you protect the words. I pray that you would protect your spirit, Lord, that you would be glorified, that you would be lifted up, and that you would be exalted. And Lord, we trust the future to you. God, we release the future to you. We don't know what it holds, and we can't see clearly. There are things that we can imagine in our minds, Lord, and I pray that the thoughts that come would be checked at the door. I pray that the thoughts that come would be stopped at the door and examined to see whether they be of you or not, Lord. I pray that for each of us, Father, that would be an ability that you would give to us. Lord, I pray for the church. I pray, Lord, that you would continue to pour out your spirit on us, Lord. I pray that we would be able to be a light in this community. I pray for each person that goes out of these doors, Lord, that wherever they go, wherever they're in contact with people, Lord, that there would be a light, that people would say, what is it? What is it? We see you go through difficult times, but we see you still have a light. We see you in the darkness, but you still have a light. God, I pray that would be the spirit for each and every one of us that is here today. So God, we give this place to you, we give this sermon to you, we give this here time in life, this time in this world to you, in Jesus' name, amen. There was something that Karen received yesterday that I was going to copy, and I couldn't copy it to read it to you, so I'll just in a nutshell. There was a father that was concerned about his children living in the future, in which every father and mother in this room this morning has a concern of how and what things are going to look like for your children. And this father is quoted to have said, his children were born for such a time as this. His children were born in this generation for this time. It was not a mistake. It was not a mistake. Just as you were born in your time, in your generation, for whatever God had for you, so your children have been born in this time, not by mistake. Walk in that confidence. God bless you.